Berm, it has been way too long since we pretended to invest in Ohio State Buckeyes with stonks. And I think on a Wednesday version of the podcast daily, with two practices, not in pads, under Ohio State's belt, that's exactly what we should do. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the best time. We have a full picture of what everyone is capable of, exactly how they'll be used. And we know pretty much at this point everything we could possibly know about the 2024 Ohio State Buckeyes. And seems like this is the absolute right time to make broad, sweeping proclamations about every player and their potential.
Well, I don't think we have to make broad proclamations. We're investing. We're speculating. We've seen two practices, and it wets the whistle.
This is why I'm not good at stocks.
Because you only want the sure thing?
Yeah, that's just the way I work. I figure
it's too late to buy Apple, bro.
Oh.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Okay. Well, then I'll start with Jeremiah Smith.
That's
the closest thing to Apple.
Okay.
Are we doing full team? Or are we just doing offense today, defense tomorrow? How do you want to do this?
We're going to break it up. So we're going to do offense, taking a little bit of a page out of what I did at ohiostate.rivals.com on Tuesday, which is some guys who caught my attention and made the most out of the first two practices. But I'm not going to pick those people for these stock watches, this version of the stocks. But we are going to do offense today. By the way, he's Jeremy Birmingham, and I'm Austin Ward. And this is still the podcast daily for Wednesday. But that's how I envision it. Let's do three speculative investments. And you've already made one.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremiah Smith is what would only be described as a blue chip stock. I mean, it's everything that you expect to see from a player who's ranked as highly as he has been ranked in the first couple of weeks. All reviews from people around the program since he's been there in January have been glowing. And it seems like a kid who's taking his work seriously. And despite the fact that people are going to put him on weird pedestals like I'm doing right now, I think he's equipped to handle it. And that ultimately, when you're talking about a freshman, I think plays a bigger role than a lot of other things. Like, how mentally equipped is this player to handle the pressure and the expectations that come with the accolades that he's been, you know, buried under the last couple of years? And Jeremiah Smith, more than anybody in the country, has dealt with that on a level that I've never seen. I've never seen a high school football player that, you know, has just been put into this camp of no way he can miss. Zero chance this guy's not going to be what we think he is. Like Jeremiah Smith. And I think he's ready to handle it. So I don't know what that means for the season for him. I don't know if it means he's a surefire, you know, 20 snap a game guy. I don't know. I mean, Carnell Tate played a lot of reps for Ohio State as a freshman, and that's unusual at wide receiver, but this is a season that is set up a little bit different at wide receiver, like you and Bill talked about on the Tuesday episode of the Daily. Like, there's an opportunity here for someone to step up and force himself into the rotation. And I think that's going to be Jeremiah Smith. He's just too talented not to.
You juiced some of that hype by just simply posting a picture of Jeremiah Smith on your X account last week.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I wasn't intending for that to blow up the way it did. But I mean, if you look at the kid, like it's different. It's not the way a freshman, especially a wide receiver, they just generally just don't look that way. If you see a kid look of that sort of frame at that age, and it's normally a defensive end or a defensive tackle, or, you know, occasionally you get the linebacker that looks that way. But Jeremiah Smith is different. And I think that while we always try to like pump the brakes on freshman hype and all that, like, I just think this is a different situation.
Yeah. I mean, he's still got to put on pads, right? Like, take it one step at a time. But the part that Ryan Day talked about, even Brian Hartline talked about it in December after, you know, the ink was dry on, you know, the commitments like are signed with Ohio State. It's like, well, you can't really question any of the physical attributes of this guy. And if you want him to run in a straight line and catch a go ball, he's already built to do that. It's the other things that we've seen Ohio State always stress, whether that's, you know, Garrett Wilson coming in or anybody else, Marvin Harrison, you got to be able to do everything before you earn that playing time. And so that process is just beginning for him. We'll see how that goes. With that in mind, I'm also investing in a wide receiver, and that would be Brandon Ennis off of two practices now and a full winter workout. You were talking to him, was that last Thursday. He was out there on the Monarch machine. A lot of those young guys working together and getting in the extra work, which you really love to see. Some of that passed down, that work ethic from Marvin Harrison Jr. And the conversation you had with Brandon Ennis was like, people always expect, or I think that there's the generality is you go through the first winter workout and you come out looking like you were inflated like a balloon and the muscles are popping out. And that really, that wasn't what Brandon Ennis needed to do, right? Yeah, he needed to slim down a little bit.
Yeah, you saw him last year as a freshman. He was a little heavier than I think he was expecting to be. And this spring, like, he looks taller and thinner to me. And he said he got a little taller, and he said he lost weight. And you can definitely see it. He looks faster.
Yeah, so I want to say it in the most respectful way possible. There was like a little freshman, I don't know how many pounds that had to come off of him. And that's compared to other elite athletes. He was already in much better shape than I've ever been in my entire life. But like comparing him to what Jeremiah Smith, when he showed up, it's like not the same. And not everybody is supposed to show up the way that Jeremiah Smith looks. But Brandon Ennis is getting to that point. We already know that he had the agility and the ball skills and then the positional versatility to help as a rusher, help in the receiving game, but to do the all-around stuff, he needed a little bit, maybe more time than the number one receiver in the country. You know, you might have projected a year ago, but that's a product of perhaps not having last spring. Again, everybody's on their own timeline, time frame. You don't have to be an early enrollee, but sometimes that does mean that you have a little catching up to do. And now if Brandon Ennis has done that and has that full season, that full fall of understanding the playbook and his responsibilities and how Brian Hartline is going to coach the position, then you tack on a winter, then you tack on spring, of which he's only through the first two practices. Just watching him move, though, there's something to me that feels different about him. And I really think putting the pieces together, that opportunity is going to exist in some form or fashion in the slot. And Brandon Ennis is going to, I think, make that position his own, which allows Ohio State then potentially to be more creative with Emeka. But we'll see. There's 13 more practices to go. But if I'm putting down some chips right now, I'd like to have some on Brandon Ennis.
Yeah, and Brandon, I asked him straight up. I'm like, you know, are you in the slot only, or are you moving around? He said, I'm playing all over the field, playing outside, playing in the slot. And I'm going to go so far as to make a bold prediction here that I think he will be Ohio State's primary punt returner heading into the season. So that I think he's in a position to make some plays, and I think he'll end up being the punt returner for Ohio State this year just to get the ball in his hand. So I think that's a safe bet that Brandon Ennis will have an opportunity.
It was his spin move against like a rolling, workout stretch ball in a punt return drill where I was like, holy cow, that was something I've not seen a whole lot of. Now, and then Jaden Ballard jumped over it. So I guess there's two ways to account for that tackler. But the way Brandon Ennis did certainly caught my attention and made me, because I didn't put a lot of future stonks on him as a true freshman, despite some of the accolades. I didn't think there were going to be a ton of opportunities for him a year ago, and that wound up being the case. But the makeup of this room is different, and that physicality, that athleticism, that speed is all still there.
Yeah, and the makeup of Brandon Ennis is different. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's probably the most competitive wide receiver prospect I've watched in the last 10 years. Like, the kid wants to fight and play, and he is as competitive as it gets. And I think that it's a room that's going to need some of that this year because you have Emeka Ebuka as the primary guy. But beyond that, you have a lot of questions like, how do people step up? Carnell Tate is a young guy, obviously, as well. Doesn't have a vocal leadership style. Brandon Ennis and the fiery competitor that he is going to be a big part of that room this year. There's a lot of guys we could talk about in the wide receiver room. If we're talking about future stocks, however, the guy that I think has to get the most attention would be Luke Montgomery, because he's just too important to this offensive production this year, in my mind, to not be, whether it's at tackle, whether it's at guard, whether it's eventually at center down the road, where I still believe he could play in the NFL. I think Luke Montgomery is so vital to what Chip Kelly and Justin Fry and Ryan Day want to do with this offense that to not include him in that conversation of like, oh, this guy is pivotal heading into this year. This guy is instrumental in the growth of this offense and the change of this offense, that it'd be silly to not have him on the list. So Luke Montgomery would be my second one. And it's just because of that versatility, because of the fact that whether it's at guard or tackle this year, and I think it could be either, it could be both based on how the next 6 weeks unfold. But this is a kid that's going to make some impact for the Buckeyes in 2024 and beyond.
I was going to take Luke Montgomery first because I knew eventually you were going to talk about him. But then I fell into your trap of I've got to talk about wide receivers because that's the natural evolution of that conversation.
Yeah, and now like fantasy football. If somebody takes his kicker in the third round, that doesn't mean you have to, Austin. Stick to your plan.
No, I think it has to be Luke Montgomery. And again, everyone should have some piece of stock in Luke Montgomery, right? I mean, someone has to claim a fifth starting spot. Like one way or another, like I'm pretty sure that whether Josh Fryer stays at tackle throughout spring or moves to guard, like Josh Fryer, I feel reasonably confident will be starting again for Ohio State. I don't think he's going to fall from first team all Big Ten from the coaches and starting all year for Ohio State to not in the lineup. That would be almost unfathomable.
Yeah.
So then what does that mean for Luke Montgomery? In the way that we overanalyze and hyperreact to open viewing periods, Luke Montgomery was not with that quote unquote first unit on the second day. The way he was on the first. But I don't ever feel like it's an accident, the people that they choose to start with the quote-unquote ones when they open spring practice. And so having Josh Fryer at right tackle and Luke Montgomery at right guard for those practices feels significant to me because they could have picked anybody. Now, more than any other position on the roster, offensive linemen need the pads on. They to work on everything they need to play football, they have to play football, and they've got to have pads on. So we're going to see what that looks like for Luke Montgomery in the 13 practices ahead when they get back from spring break. So I don't want to jump to too many conclusions, but adding on the first day of spring practice and where he lined up with using him in the Bison role and getting some of the experience off the bench that he did as a true freshman, which I really... Do you think that he played more last year than you expected? As high as you've been on him, I still thought it was surprising the amount he played in year one.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I think that it's one of these changes of philosophy that, like, if you're going to throw out a sixth offensive lineman in that Bison package or something like that, and you have a highly ranked freshman who's now making, you know, significant NIL money, like, you almost have to find a way to put him into the game to make it worth the investment. You know, I think that Luke, in the versatility of the athleticism, is why he was played as much, and as opposed to putting just Enoch Vilahi out there or something like that, because you can move him around. You can have him as your swing tackle. You can put him at guard. He's a guy who could play fullback in the Caden McDonald role if you wanted. So I think that's why it ended up being him. But, you know, Luke is certainly a player that, like, he wasn't starting last year. He wasn't playing impactful minutes, but you could tell it was being done with an eye on the future. Like, we need to get you ready for this season, because if you look at the class of 2022 offensive linemen, there's still question marks about where those guys are developmental wise. And Luke, just from the minute he got on the campus, was just a little bit more physically ready to go. And so I think that pretty much informed that.
Does this mean that I can take Caden McDonald as a fullback as one of my stocks?
You can. I'm not sure I would advise it, but I certainly... I mean, if we're trying to compare portfolios here long term, I would actually prefer that you do that.
Yeah, no, I won't. I gotta grab whatever's left of Luke Montgomery, because you already had a healthy amount in your portfolio coming into today and build it too.
To the rest, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have both loaded up. I guess I've done a poor job planning for the future. I'm always like trying to cash in on a short-term flip within like one season to the next. And then I have to play catch up when you guys are right about somebody like Luke Montgomery.
Yeah, but that's why I like to play the real long game. Like, give me 3 years from now and let me talk to you about what this kid's going to be. And that's why my third choice is Julian Sain, who I really, you know, it is obviously a safe play. This is like a futures league, right? Again, I'm going back to the fantasy football reference. Like, we're drafting for the future here. This is a kid who clearly was not really a part of the plan for Ohio State 2 months ago, was at Alabama. Thank you, Nick Saban, for the retirement. And so now Ohio State gets a chance at the best high school quarterback in the country a year ago. And from just the little things we hear from other players, from coaches, like the way that Julian Sayin throws the ball, the way he handles his business has been very well received. And I think that it's smart to begin to look at him. Like, obviously, there's a lot of things that can happen in the quarterback room. I'm not trying to make, incredible leaps to of logic here. But if Will Howard ends up being the starter and Devin Brown doesn't stick around, and like you have potentially next year a battle between Lincoln Kienholz and Julian Sayin to be the starter, and I think that there's a 50-50 shot there. I mean, that sounds, I know, simple math, but like I think Julian Sayin has a chance to be the starter sooner than people would have imagined. He is going to need to put some more time in the weight room, get a little bit bigger. He's certainly not the 6'3", 6'4" quarterback you've gotten used to at Ohio State, but guys seem to continue to get taller and grow as they get older. I mean, he's 18 years old, so I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up, you know, just a hair under 6'3" by the time he's playing meaningful minutes at Ohio State. But the way he throws the ball, the way he handles himself, the way that he the way he handles pressure, just the coolness about him. I think that Cali cool thing that we've seen out of quarterbacks in the past, pretty good one from Ohio State a couple years ago with CJ Stroud. Like, I think that carries over, and I think people should be very aware of Julian Sayin. And now, again, that seems like maybe a cheap pick, but there's a lot of ways the quarterback room could break.
Yeah, it's 2 days of like throwing into nets and routes on air that we got to watch, and we love to parse that as much as we can. He did not look nervous. We didn't, like, I don't remember seeing any throws where it was like, boy, he feels uncomfortable out here. He's not, you know, he's still trying to feel his way out at Ohio State practice. I didn't get that sense from watching him, like the way you sometimes do with others. The accuracy felt pretty good. I don't know if he's got like CJ caliber arm strength at this point, or Dwayne Haskins caliber arm strength, but you don't generally expect a true freshman to show up with that ability. That's what you develop over time. I remember talking about that a lot with Joe Burrow, that it took 3 years for that to really come along with him to fill out physically and be able to do those things that you can envision down the field. But at least when it came to hitting some of those intermediate throws, again, on air or into that net or one-inch throws, it looks like Julian Sayin has a pretty good feel for that already.
Yeah, he's... If you go back and watch the film, I think he completed like 78% of his passes as a senior. Like, he understands where to throw a football, and he understands how to layer a ball over coverage, and he understands velocity and when it's needed and when it's not. And those are things that you just can't really teach when you get to college. Like, that's a feel for the game that you just have to have. And some of that, I think, is a kid who's on the West Coast, gets to throw the ball all the time. Like, you just... It's all you do. And so that sort of extra work is pretty important. And you see it when it comes to how he takes that to the field, because he does really look comfortable and like a kid who people should be paying close attention to.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good bet on the future. I don't know if this is reckless or going to really pay off. I don't expect it to in this year, but I feel like there's been a lot of Dallin Hayden stock dumping. That when Quinshon Judkins comes in, when you have Travion Henderson back, he's not going to stay forever. There's no way Dallin Hayden would be content to be third. And maybe he won't be. But when you watch, like, physically, I remember him being allowed to talk to the media during training camp as a true freshman. Ohio State thought that much about his maturity, the way he handled his business, and the way he was playing on the practice field to give him that opportunity. And I don't fully understand all of the machinations that led to Ohio State thinking that a redshirt was the best idea for Dallin Hayden last year. But if he didn't, in some respects, agree with it, then he would already be gone, because he still has plenty of other schools, including one that he's known since he was a child, that would have gladly taken him and paid up for him to leave Ohio State. So I wonder if I just continue to be impressed with the way he moves, the way he's added strength. And if he is fully on board with wading through this development process behind Travion Henderson, potentially behind Quinshon Judkins, being the third guy this year, and then having like 1 year to be the guy, I think that would be pretty impressive. If he gets the full picture and everything we hear is, well, it's got to be the pass protection and there's the ball security from year one. Like, I don't know. I don't get to see every practice. Neither of us do. And he didn't have pads on when he was running around on the first 2 days. And that's the period where you'd be working on stuff like that, that would really count. But if all that comes together at some point, and it was on a delayed time frame where he was fully okay with that and still wants it to be at Ohio State and with Tony Alford as his position coach, the payoff for him, for Dallin Hayden and for Ohio State could be immense. And it still could be just as the third guy, because we've seen 5 years in a row, Ohio State deal with injuries at running back and need that next guy in line. It could still be this year that pays off, but boy, if they can see that through and they do get to that 2025 year with Dallin Hayden on the roster, man, what a bonus that would be.
Yeah, and that's why, like, in this new era of college football, there's a transfer portal window that opens on April 14th or April 15th. And so, like, it's hard to ever truly feel comfortable in what you have on the roster, because you can look at this and you can build out and project out and say, okay, we got Travion here and Quinshon here. Dallin's going to get X carries. Like, I think there is a world and a very realistic world where Dallin Hayden gets 125 carries this year for Ohio State. I think it's possible. Like, if the Buckeyes do what you think the Buckeyes should do and end up playing 15 or 16 games, like, there's a workload to be had for Dallin Hayden, and he's really darn good as a running back. He's been grown. He grew up in a way in understanding the business of college football because of his dad, because of his brother playing college ball. Like, I think he does get those things in a way that might be a more thorough understanding of that side of football than most guys do. But at the same time, you're still going to have those phone calls coming from Tennessee in April. You're still going to have the family reaching or being reached out to by other schools. And so, like, it is a conscious decision that these kids have to make to say, I am choosing the harder path. And so it is a difficult thing to expect them to do. And so when they do that, like, I really hope people celebrate those kids the way that they deserve to be celebrated, because he has a number of ways to go elsewhere and to do different things. And he's chosen the difficult path the last 2 years. And we'll see that he does it again in 6 weeks, because if he does it again in 6 weeks, it will be beneficial, not just for him long term, but also hugely important for Ohio State heading into the season.
Yeah, I bet he gets so tired of seeing the 865 area code pop up on his phone. Like, oh no, not this again. How many times do I have to tell you no?
I mean, his family, like, lives pretty close to there, right? So,
yeah. Well,
Memphis isn't really close enough. Knoxville, Memphis are like this. That's what I've always heard. No?
No, they're 6 hours away. So it's
knocked down on my understanding of Tennessee geography.
Yes. There we go. That's a proper self-evaluation. I know you always have a bonus one you want to throw in there, so I'm not going to cut you off.
The bonus one,
yeah,
is the bonus one.
Oh, it doesn't have one. All right, good. You always want to sneak in more when we do three. I got to have five.
There's certainly other guys we could talk about, but I'm, you know, if we're talking future stocks, I mean, I would say Will Kaczmarek. Like, that's a kid. No one's going to talk enough about him this spring because he plays a glamorless position at Ohio State, and he's a new guy transferring in from Ohio, but, like, he might be one of the most important players on the offense based on what we've seen out of Ohio State the last couple of years with Kate Stover. So we could go down the list and find guys that people are maybe not going to talk about enough. Mm-hmm. But I'm playing for the future here, man. Okay. I've got the Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sain stocks. I'm good. I'm golden. You said I couldn't buy Apple. I just bought two apples.
Oh, wow. How do you like them? It took all my willpower to not take Will Kaczmarek. I'm turning over a new leaf, and I'm going to cool it a little bit on the tight ends this year, and maybe that'll actually help Ohio State use them. Cade got plenty of usage, but maybe they'll be more impactful. Anyway, well, those stocks are back because we have something new to talk about after a couple practices. We're going to hit the defense on a Thursday, episode of the Podcast Daily, but that's one day away. Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.